As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
If failure came with a warning sign, most would recognize it, stand guard, and do something about it. But it doesn't. It hides behind small habits, habits that seem harmless, even reasonable, on their own.
Don't ask, are you worthy of the goal? Ask, is a goal worthy of you? You're trading your life for it. You want to have a goal that's worth failing for. An ideal is an idea that you have fallen in love with. You see, the beautiful truth is, you and I have more potential than we will ever understand. We've got phenomenal powers. Intuition is an intellectual factor.
Successful people are not more talented, more intelligent, or more deserving than you are. They're just willing to do what you refuse to do while you're watching Netflix. They're reading books while you're sleeping in. They're exercising while you're complaining about your circumstances. They're changing their circumstances. While you're waiting for motivation, they're taking action. While you're making excuses, they're making progress. The difference between success and failure is not dramatic, it's pathetic. It's so small that most people can't even see it.
Most men are totally unaware of the creative power of imagination and invariably bow before the dictates of facts and accept life on the basis of the world without. But when you discover this creative power within yourself, you will boldly assert the supremacy of imagination and put all things in subjection to it.
Skipping a morning routine just once, letting a day pass without reading, promising yourself you'll do it tomorrow. It's those little choices that open the window, just a crack, and that's all the thief needs. I've seen it too many times. People come to me and ask where they went wrong. They worked hard. They had big plans. But somewhere along the way, something slipped. Not with a bang, but with a whimper. Little habits left unchallenged, repeated day after day, became the silent thieves that stole what they'd been working for.
It's like perception, the will, reason, imagination, memory, and intuition. These are higher faculties. These are the faculties that separate us from all of the rest of the animal kingdom. All the rest of the animal kingdom is completely at home in their environment. They blend in. You and I are totally disoriented in our environment. And that is because we've been given the godlike ability to create our own environment. You and I are spiritual beings. And if we are not inspired to do something, it's because we're not thinking of who we are. The essence of us is spirit. And spirit's always for expansion and fuller expression. He gets into that so beautifully in the area of imagination. He said it's the most marvelous, miraculous, inconceivably powerful force the world's ever known. It's the imagination that permits us to move into the spiritual essence of who we are. It's your imagination that takes the idea that comes to your consciousness and that spirit wanting to express itself greater way through you, because spirit's always for expansion and fuller expression. And so it's the raising of our conscious awareness.
Which is exactly why most people never achieve anything meaningful. You're not failing because you lack ability. You're failing because you lack discipline. You're not stuck because you don't have opportunities. You're stuck because you don't take opportunities. Right now, at this very moment, there are two people sitting in identical offices with identical degrees, identical opportunities, and identical potential. One will retire wealthy, respected, and fulfilled. The other will struggle financially, feel undervalued, and wonder where their life went wrong. The difference between these two people is not talent, luck, or circumstances. The difference is exactly 1%. Most people believe success requires massive changes, dramatic transformations, or extraordinary circumstances. They wait for the perfect moment, the right opportunity, or some magical breakthrough. But here's what they don't understand. Success is not about giant leaps. Success is about being 1% better than you were yesterday, consistently, without fail, day after day after day.
When the man speaks of God in man, he's totally unaware that this power called God in man is man's imagination. This is the creative power in man. There is nothing under heaven that is not plastic as potter's clay to the touch of the shaping spirit of imagination. Once a man said to me, "You know, Neville, I love to listen to you talk about imagination. And as I do so, I invariably touch the chair with my fingers and push my feet into the rug just to keep my sense of the reality and the profundity of things." Well, undoubtedly, he is still touching the chair with his fingers and pushing his feet into the rug. But now let me tell you of another one who didn't touch with her fingers and didn't push that foot of hers onto the board of the streetcar. It's the story of a young girl, just turned 17. It was Christmas Eve, and she is sad of heart. For that year, she had lost her father in an accident, and she's returning home to what seemed to be an empty house. She was untrained to do anything, so got herself a job as a waitress. This night is quite late, Christmas Eve. It's raining. The car is full of laughing boys and girls home for their Christmas vacation. And she couldn't conceal the tears. Luckily for her, as I said, it was raining. So she stuck her face into the heavens to mingle her tears with the rain. And then holding the rail of the streetcar, this is what she did. She said, "This is not rain, but this is spray from the ocean. And this is not the salt of tears that I taste, but this is the salt of the sea in the wind. And this is not San Diego. This is a ship. And I'm coming into the Bay of Samoa." And there she felt the reality of all that she had imagined. Then came the end of the journey, and all are out. 10 days later, this girl received a letter from a firm in Chicago saying that her aunt, several years before, when she sailed for Europe, deposited with them $3,000. With instructions that if she did not return to America, this money should be paid to her niece. They had just received information of the aunt's death and were now acting upon her instructions. 1 month later, this girl sailed for Samoa. As she came into the bay, it was late that night, and there was salt of the sea in the wind. It wasn't raining, but there was spray in the air. And she actually felt what she felt 1 month before, only this time she had realized her objective.
And that's the danger, isn't it? Most people think success comes from adding more work, more hours, more ambition. But just as important as what you add is what you allow, what you tolerate, what you let pass unchecked. You can plant all the seeds you want, but if you let the weeds grow, pretty soon there's nothing left of your garden. Now, it's easy to spot the big mistakes, the major errors in judgment. But I'm talking about the habits so small you almost miss them. Leaving the dishes in the sink one night because you're tired. Letting a disagreement go unresolved because it's uncomfortable. Not writing that thank you note. Because after all, what's one note? These are the habits that steal your future. They creep in through the cracks, unnoticed. Each time you repeat them, they gain strength. Before you know it, you've built a wall, brick by brick, that stands between you and your potential. What's the lesson? Success isn't just about doing the right things. It's also about guarding against the wrong ones, It's about vigilance, about becoming a watchman at the gate of your own life, checking the locks, making sure the windows are shut, and not allowing even the smallest thief inside. It's a hard truth, but a necessary one. Habits shape your destiny. Not just the ones you celebrate, but the ones you excuse, the ones you rationalize, the ones you believe are too small to matter. Let me tell you, they matter. In fact, they may matter most of all. So as you consider your journey, ask yourself, what habits have I let slip in unannounced? Where have I grown complacent? What have I allowed day by day to drift out of alignment with my goals? Because if you don't catch these silent thieves early, they will take from you more than you ever imagined possible. Procrastination is a sly thief. It doesn't make a scene. It simply invites you to wait, not forever, just for now, just until you feel ready, until you know more, until conditions are perfect. And the danger is, it sounds so reasonable. Why rush? Why not take a little more time to think, to plan, to prepare? But here's what I learned. Waiting for the right time is a trick. There's no such thing. Life rarely serves up perfect conditions. And while you're waiting, opportunities move on. The world doesn't pause for your hesitation. Every time you delay action, you lose more than just minutes or hours. You lose momentum. And momentum is a precious thing. When you're in motion, energy is high. Ideas flow. Confidence builds. But stop. Just for a day or two, and it gets harder to start again. The habit of delay becomes its own kind of gravity, pulling you further from your goals.
Hill found this out. He writes about it. That's what changes our life. We're spiritual beings. We've been gifted with an intellect, and we live in a physical body. Everything we own at the time of our death is going to belong to someone else. So it's not what we own. We're merely custodians. It's what we do with our life that makes a difference. You've got to be persistent. And he gives us a very simple formula here. He said there are four simple steps which lead to the habit of persistence. Number one, a definite purpose backed by a burning desire for its fulfillment. Number two, a definite plan expressed in continuous action. Number three, a mind, this is very important, closed tightly against all negative and discouraging influences, including negative suggestions of relatives, friends, and acquaintances. And number four, a friendly alliance with one or more persons who will encourage one to follow through with both plan and purpose. He said these four steps are essential for success in all walks of life. When you start studying Napoleon Hill's work, and you really start to get into the spirit of it, you're going to be inspired, because that's what inspiration is. It's in spirit. And get into the spirit of his work. He had one objective. He wanted to wake you up. He wanted to wake me up. He did wake me up. Hopefully you're awake as well. And as you start studying into this, you'll start to realize there is literally no end to what you're capable of doing. He said, ideas are intangible forces, but they have more power than the physical brains that gave birth to them. They have the power to live on long after the brain has created them has turned to dust. Napoleon Hill's been dead since 1970. But the idea that his brain developed and worked with lives on because of people like me, because of people like you, because of the people that are putting this documentary together. This could be the most important book in your library. When I set a new goal, I have difficulty believing I can do it. Intellectually, I've studied this long enough, then I know I can. But it isn't your intellect that does it. If it was the intellect that does it, our school system would be screaming successful. But we've got people graduating from universities all over the world. They've got an enormous amount of knowledge in their intellect, and yet they're losing. They're broke. They can't find work. So it's not your intellect. Intellectually, I've studied this long enough to know that if I can see it in my mind, I can do it. You've got to believe it in your heart. You see, the heart is what the early Greeks referred to, the heart, as the subconscious mind. There's a whole chapter in here on the subconscious mind. And it's very, very powerful. Because until you internalize the idea, it isn't going to happen.
Let me share with you a simple mathematical truth that will change how you think about achievement forever. If you improve by just 1% every single day for 1 year, you don't become 1% better. You become 37 times better. That's 3.7% improvement. But if you get worse by just 1% every day for a year, you decline to nearly zero. The compound effect of small improvements is the most powerful force in human achievement. Most people underestimate what they can accomplish in a year and overestimate what they can accomplish in a day. They try to change everything at once, burn out in 3 weeks, and return to their old habits. They chase the latest success system, the newest productivity hack, or the most popular self-help trend. They jump from one method to another, never staying with anything long enough to see real results. The wealthy understand something the average person doesn't. They know that small, consistent actions compound into extraordinary results. A millionaire doesn't become wealthy by making one giant deal. They become wealthy by making smart decisions, saving a little more, investing wisely, and building wealth systematically over time. The difference between the wealthy and the poor is not one big decision. It's thousands of small decisions made consistently over years. Think about the most successful person you know personally. I guarantee they didn't achieve their success through one lucky break or one brilliant idea. They achieved it through consistent daily habits that most people would consider boring or insignificant. They read when others watched television. They planned when others procrastinated. They took action when others made excuses. They invested in themselves when others spent money on things they didn't need. The average person looks for shortcuts. They want the fastest path, the easiest method, the guaranteed system. They buy lottery tickets, hoping to get rich quick. They diet for 2 weeks, expecting to lose 20 pounds. They read one book.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
And expect to become an expert. They attend one seminar and expect their life to change forever. This is not how success works. This is not how anything meaningful works. Success follows a predictable pattern. It starts slowly, almost imperceptibly. The changes are so small that most people quit before they see any results. But those who persist, who stay committed to their daily 1% improvements, eventually reach a tipping point where their results accelerate dramatically. This is when others notice and say they got lucky or had natural talent. But you'll know the truth. You'll know it was the compound effect of consistent daily effort. Here's what most people don't realize about the 1% principle. It's not just about doing more. It's about doing the right things consistently. You can work harder than everyone else, but if you're working on the wrong activities, you'll never achieve your goals. The 1% mindset requires you to identify the specific actions that produce the greatest results and focus on those activities with laser precision.
Now, this whole record is technique. I want to show you today how to put your wonderful imagination right into the feeling of your wish fulfilled and let it remain there and fall asleep in that state. And I promise you, from my own experience, you will realize the state in which you sleep if you could actually feel yourself right into the situation of your fulfilled desire and continue therein until you fall asleep. As you feel yourself right into it, remain in it until you give it all the tones of reality, until you give it all the sensory vividness of reality. As you do it, in that state, quietly fall into sleep. And in a way you will never know, You could never consciously devise the means that will be employed. You will find yourself moving across a series of events leading you towards the objective realization of this state. Now, here is a practical technique. The first thing you do, you must know exactly what you want in this world. When you know exactly what you want, make as lifelike a representation as possible of what you would see and what you would touch and what you would do and physically moving in such a state. For example, suppose I wanted a home, but I had no money, but I still know what I want. I, without taking anything into consideration, I would make as lifelike a representation of the home that I would like, with all the things in it that I would want. And then, this night, as I would go to bed, I would, in a state, a drowsy, sleepy state, the state that borders upon sleep, I would imagine that I am actually in such a house, that were I to step off the bed, I would step upon the floor of that house. Were I to leave this room, I would enter the room that is adjacent to my imagined room in that house. And while I am touching the furniture and feeling it to be solidly real, and while I am moving from one room to the other in my imaginary house, I would go sound asleep in that state. And I know that in a way I could not consciously devise, I would realize my house. I have seen it work time and time again. If I wanted promotion in my business, I would ask myself what additional responsibilities would be mine were I to be given this great promotion. What would I do? What would I say? What would I see? How would I act? And then in my imagination, I would begin to see and touch and do and act as I would outwardly see and touch and act were I in that position.
You see, progress doesn't come from thinking about action. It comes from action itself. People sometimes tell me they're just waiting for inspiration. Inspiration is wonderful, but it tends to visit those who are already moving. Get started, and you'll be surprised how often inspiration catches up with you. Every delay has a cost, not just the work you didn't do, but the belief you didn't build. The more you wait, the more you doubt. Doubt in your ability, doubt in your resolve. The habit of waiting chips away at your self-trust. Before long, the mountain seems bigger, the task heavier, and your ambition feels just out of reach. Winners and losers often start with the same intentions. But winners act while others wait. It's not always the most talented who succeed. It's those who show up day after day, regardless of how they feel. They know the right moment is the one they make. They don't wait for conditions to improve. They get to work and let progress create its own weather. And here's something to remember. Action builds confidence. The very act of doing, even imperfectly, creates a sense of capability. You finish one thing, and suddenly you believe you can finish another. One step leads to the next. Doubt, on the other hand, grows in the shadows of inactivity. The longer you wait, the more you convince yourself you can't. I've met so many people with big plans who waited their whole lives for the right time. They missed chances, not because they lacked ability, but because they lacked momentum. Life rewards action, not intention. The world moves forward, and if you want to catch up, you have to move with it. So ask yourself, where have I been waiting for conditions to be perfect? What have I put off, hoping for a better moment? Remember, every day you wait is a day lost, not just from your calendar, but from your character. Act now and watch how quickly doubt is replaced by confidence. Momentum is fragile. Once you have it, protect it. When you lose it, fight to get it back. Don't let the thief of procrastination steal your future one quiet day at a time. And here is the next thief that will rob you of your success. Excuses. They're easy to make, aren't they? And the more skilled you become at making them, the further you drift from the results you want. Excuses are like Little stories crafted to protect comfort, to shield from blame, to let weakness hide behind something that sounds reasonable.
You see, you can want something. Wants are of a conscious nature. That's your intellectual part of your personality. The desire is the idea in your subconscious mind seeking expression outside through your action. Desire is when you've internalized the idea. You've got to believe you can do it on a subconscious level. You can come to believe it through repetition. If you take what you want and start to imagine yourself with it, the imagination enables you to go into the future and bring the future into the present. You've got to act like the person you want to become. Well, when we do that and do it over and over, you come to believe. We operate on the premise that everyone thinks, and the very truth is that very few people think. My old employer and mentor, Earl Nightingale, often said that if the average person said what they were thinking, they would be speechless. The late and great educator, Dr. Kenneth McFarland, said 2% of the people think, 3% think they think, and 95% would actually rather die than think. General Henry Ford said, thinking is the hardest work there is, which is the probable reason so few people engage in it. Thinking is the highest function that you and I are capable of. The problem is, very few courses teach thinking. You see, an idea is a thought or a collection of thoughts directed towards a purpose. Most people would never do what they're doing if they're thinking. Listen to the average conversation that's going on. People would never say what they're saying if they were thinking. No, the truth is that thinking is not something everybody gets involved in. But you start studying this material, and I can assure you one thing, you will begin to think. If a person's going to accomplish anything of any consequence in their life, they have to get into the spirit of it. In other words, I think we have to understand, where does the information come from? Where does the energy come from to create things? Well, we go to spirit. Spirit flows to and through us, and we can think the highest function that we're capable of, and we build an image in our mind. Then we have to be true to that image. We have to use our will to hold that picture on the screen of the mind, and we turn the image back over to spirit, which is within us. Through the reciprocal law of spirit, it gives it back to us in physical form. Now, this is truly getting into the spirit of the thing. That is what being inspired is all about. And all great work came about because someone was inspired to do it. All the great paintings, Rembrandt, Van Gogh, all of them, they were inspired to do the great work. We have to understand that whatever Rembrandt or Van Gogh used, we have available to us. We're God's highest form of creation. Spirit flows to and through us. It's our responsibility to decide what we're going to do with it. I think we've got an obligation to do great work. We're only here for a short time, not a long time. And we've got the faculties and the ability to do great work. I think we should.
The successful know that excellence is not an act, but a habit. They don't wait until they feel motivated to take action. They take action because they are committed to their vision of success. They understand that motivation follows action, not the other way around. They do what needs to be done, whether they feel like it or not, every single day. You have a choice. You can choose to be part of the 99% who settle for average results, or you can choose to be part of the 1% who create extraordinary lives. The choice is yours, but understand this, not choosing is still a choice. Staying where you are is still a choice. The 1% mindset is not about perfection. It's about progress. It's not about never failing. It's about learning from failure and improving. It's not about being the best at everything. It's about being your best at the things that matter most. It's about understanding that small improvements made consistently over time create results that seem impossible to those who don't understand the power of compound growth. The question is not whether you can achieve extraordinary success. The question is whether you're willing to commit to the daily actions that create extraordinary success. Are you willing to be 1% better today than you were yesterday? Are you willing to stay committed when others quit? Are you willing to do what's necessary even when you don't feel like it? The 1% mindset is your key to a life of achievement, fulfillment, and success. But it requires a decision. It requires commitment. It requires daily action. Most importantly, it requires you to start today, not tomorrow, not next week, not when conditions are perfect. Today. The mathematics of success are simple and predictable. The application of these principles is where most people fail. Don't be most people. Be part of the 1% who understands that success is not about giant leaps, but about consistent daily improvements that compound into extraordinary results over time.
If I now desired the mate of my life, were I now in search of some wonderful girl or some wonderful man, what would I actually find myself doing that would imply that I have found my state? For instance, suppose now I was a lady. One thing I would definitely do, I would wear a wedding ring. I would take my imaginary hands, and I would feel the ring that I would imagine to be there. And I would keep on feeling it and feeling it until it seemed to me to be solidly real. I would give it all the sensory vividness I am capable of giving anything. And while I am feeling my imaginary ring, which implies I am married, I would sleep. This story is told us in the Song of Songs, or the Song of Solomon. It is said, at night on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loved. I found him whom my soul loved. And I would not let him go until I brought him into my mother's house, right into the chamber of her that conceived me. If I would take that beautiful poem and put it into modern English, into practical language, it would be this. While sitting in my chair, I would feel myself right into the situation of my fulfilled desire. And having felt myself into that state, I would not let it go. I would keep that mood alive, and in that mood, I would sleep. That is, take it right into my mother's chamber, into the chamber of her that conceived me. You know, people are totally unaware of this fantastic power of the imagination. But when man begins to discover this power within him, he never plays the part that he formerly played. He doesn't turn back and become just the reflective life. From here on in, he is the affector of life. The secret of it is to center your imagination in the feeling of the wish fulfilled and remain therein. For in our capacity to live in the feeling of the wish fulfilled lies our capacity to live the more abundant life. Most of us are afraid to imagine ourselves as important and noble individuals, secure in our contribution to the world, just because at the very moment that we start our assumption, reason and our senses deny the truth of our assumption. We seem to be in the grip of an unconscious urge which makes us cling desperately to the world of familiar things and resist all that threatens to tear us away from our familiar and seemingly safe moorings.
Over the years, I've watched people explain away missed opportunities with a kind of creativity that could have built a fortune if applied to solving problems instead of explaining them. The weather, the economy, a difficult childhood, lack of support, timing. The list is endless. There's always something outside to blame for what's not working inside. But here's what happens. Every excuse you make, every story you spin to defend a lack of progress, quietly drains energy from the only place it matters, your ability to fix what needs fixing. The time you spend justifying is time you don't spend improving. You can't move forward with one foot in the story and one foot in reality.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.